B-Pod Studios.
Bryan Danielson, Adam Cole, baby, Ruby Solo are all elite. All Elite Wrestling presented All Out on pay-per-view on Sunday night. Mike Riley, I thought this show was well done. It was a good pace. It had good excitement, start to finish, just an amazing show. And really, this probably is as close to a perfect wrestling pay-per-view that can be put together, with it being a 4+ hour show. We'll deep dive into this. But one thing that I want to lead off with, because it's an important point to me, and this is me playing my own CD collection here. Ring of Honor Wrestling basically set the stage for an entire generation of pro wrestling. Now, I want that statement to marinate for a second, and you can do your own research, but most of you already know the histories of everybody here. But Ring of Honor is a catalyst for all of it. So the big story of AEW's All Out came after Kenny Omega pinned Christian Cage to retain the AEW championship with a one-winged angel from the top rope. The Elite fills the ring, and out comes Adam Cole, baby, who joins the Elite. Because of course he would, because he's a smarmy, smart-ass villain. So of course he would. But we all thought, oh, well, he's here to confront, because that would be fun, Omega and Adam Cole. Mm-hmm. Then as Kenny Omega is doing his show close, Bryan Danielson's music hits. He hits the ring. Kenny Omega takes a powder. One of the Young Bucks gets to eat Bryan Danielson's running knee. That was fun. Again, a really strong show. But think about this. Tony Khan, the owner of AEW, on one pay-per-view, drops Bryan Danielson, Adam Cole, CM Punk's return match, a big-time New Japan pro wrestler, Minoru Suzuki, who I had to Google, but the Chicago crowd knew who he was, so that was what was important. So, Mike, before we start to detail this pay-per-view, thoughts on the show?
Yeah, I mean, those are some really good opening remarks there, James, as the big highlights of it there. And you know, I always, for AEW, my favorite show was the Double or Nothing in 2019, and I try to have that as the high standard for AEW shows, and this surpassed it. All Out 2021 was fantastic. This is as close to 10 stars out of 10 for me, like you talk about there, everything that went down, the quality. And we'll, like you mentioned, we'll get more into it here with the deep dive of former WWE stars. And I think that's a big takeaway here, letting guys particularly walk and go to the top competition, if you will. So that's a big thorn. It's got to be a thorn in the side of WWE. I don't care what people say in that company or whatever, but that is definitely a big, you know, obvious competition, if you will. Daniel Bryan. Adam Cole, who was just on NXT TakeOver a little over a week ago. That's the one I was not expecting at all. Now, Bryan Danielson, I thought that he would probably be at the Arthur Ashe Stadium. That's what the internet was spewing out as well, September 26th. But then, of course, you know, there was a lot of talk that he'd be there this past Sunday at All Out, which I was not too surprised about. The Adam Cole one, that was a real big surprise. Good for Ruby. Not Ruby Riott anymore, but you know, her debut in the Casino Battle Royal, the women's one there, just awesome. Everything was
Ruby Soho.
Thank you, Ruby Soho. I'm going to write that down so I don't screw that one up again. But
don't worry, because Tony Khan called her Ruby Riott in the post-media scrum.
He did. That's right. So yeah. I think that
he also, by the way, Tony Khan in the media scrum, which you, everybody out there should watch these media scrums or listen to them. That's why I attached the CM Punk one to the most downloaded episode in the history of wrestling Inside the Ropes a few weeks ago. Is you learn so many details about things and wrestlers. So Tony Khan said Adam Cole was very much last minute. Bryan Danielson, which I have to keep reminding myself that he is the American Dragon again. Like,
right.
He's not Daniel Bryan. He's Bryan Danielson again. CM Punk, they all signed their contracts when they showed up to these shows. So CM Punk signs his contract before he hits the ring at Rampage 2 weeks ago. Bryan Danielson, Adam Cole, Ruby Soho all signed their contracts when they hit the arena that night.
Pretty amazing. And you know what, James, just over the last 14 to 21 days for AEW and Tony Khan, he has to feel like one of the luckiest, if not the luckiest, SOB in the world, because he got CM Punk in Chicago to make his AEW debut there in front of a packed house at the United Center. He sells out another show in Chicago, Labor Day weekend, hopefully at the end of this pandemic here, where you can have a full crowd back right there. The most ever purchased pay-per-view in AEW history. He's got a lot to be smiling for right now. And Tony Khan, as we know, a fan. He gets it. He appreciates pro wrestling. I think this was a big pay-per-view, James, for pro wrestling fans who had been frustrated for many years with WWE. And this was a big situation for them to say, well, you know what? Daniel Bryan, he didn't get that. He wasn't booked as well as we thought. So now we have his chance right here. And what about Adam Cole? Now he has a shot here. He was not on the main roster, but now he can be right here in AEW. Ruby Soho, let's see what they can do here. Even Miro, for crying out loud, opened up at the show, and he's had an awesome, awesome run in AEW as a TNT champion right now. So Chris Jericho,
ever since he became the Killer, that's when he became awesome.
Yeah,
the video gamer guy, no thank you, but right. Miro the Killer has been great.
AEW's got a lot to be proud of, and
that's kind of one of the key points, Mike, is that they have adjusted when the fans are like, no, we're not digging this.
Exactly.
And that's something that they're listening. The fans are saying, no, we don't like this. So AEW and Tony Khan and creative and the vice presidents are like, okay, well, let's try this.
Right.
And see if this is successful. But Chris Jericho tweeted about this show being a game changing moment in pro wrestling. CM Punk in his post show media scrum. He said, this feels like this show, the stars coming in, is bigger than the outsiders coming into WCW. And I feel like it's an impactful moment. Yep. And 2 weeks for pro wrestling, and in 5 years, we might look at this as a game-changing moment.
Yep.
There are times where I feel like I want to wait and see.
Yep.
I've downplayed the impact of this. I'm as hardcore as they come. I'm dug in. But I'm here for all of it right now, living in it. The last 2 weeks have been game changing, and they've been important. And we'll find out the pay-per-view buys. We all assume it's going to be the most bought show in AEW history. Like, that's the assumption. But here are the clear metrics and why I can make this call now, 2 weeks into it, that this is an important moment for pro wrestling. And for All Elite Wrestling, CM Punk showing up on Rampage is approaching 9 million views on its YouTube page.
That's amazing.
CM Punk's Pro Wrestling Tees t-shirt, over 100,000 in 3 days. The previous record for Pro Wrestling Tees, 35,000.
Can I interrupt it? Did you buy
our
one yet?
Our podcast talking about CM Punk's return to wrestling is the most downloaded podcast in the 200 plus shows that we've done.
Wow.
AEW streamed their pre-show across many social media platforms. When CM Punk went on the screen, the viewers went from about 500 to over 2,000. When CM Punk left the screen, it went to under 1,000. Here's the bigger point, though, and this is more for the wrestling industry. People are more interested in being the AEW champion and working for AEW than they are WWE. That's the vibe that I get from CM Punk comes out of retirement for Tony Khan. Bryan Danielson makes the transition, Ruby Soho makes the transition. Chris Jericho was the first real big WWE guy to jump over there. But just how they talk about working creative with Tony Khan instead of being handed a script. Mike, you know yourself, I know, when we have creative input into things, into our work, we are more productive. We are more invested in seeing it through and seeing it be successful. That's not the vibe in WWE. And really, one of the first moments that this should have become a thing was when Mike Bennett goes to WWE. He has his run. They re-sign and then they leave. And Mike and Maria are like, you know what? Our bad. Because if you look at Mike Bennett in Ring of Honor and the NWA, he's just wrestling to wrestle. He just wants to get in there and grapple. He doesn't care if he wins, he loses, anything like that, because he just loves pro wrestling. So what you have is these wrestlers who grew up loving pro wrestling, and they get to go to AEW, and Mike, guess what? They get to be pro wrestlers, not here's a script, you're a sports entertainer, go make a movie. Yep. No, we're going to tell stories, and there are details within this show that if you're paying attention, are going to lead to something else. The big splash, the big cliffhanger is here comes Adam Cole, here comes Bryan Danielson. What's going to happen next? But as we pick our way through this show, there are other little details about characters going forward and what might be next for them. That's what's fun about pro wrestling. That's what's cool about pro wrestling.
Very well said. And I think that's the whole point of this particular, in any pay-per-view in general, to get people to watch the next show. Now, I wish Dynamite were tomorrow night, right? I wish it were as soon as possible, but I got to wait 2 days, but I'm all invested on that. So they grab me right there as a viewer. AEW is doing what they have to do. And it's great for new viewers that may have never watched it before to see what it's all about. And you're right, doing the whole booking and so forth. If I may just touch on one thing, though. Sure. You talked about CM Punk when he made the comment about, this is bigger than the outsiders joining the WCW. Yep. I talked to someone today behind the scenes in AEW, and they seem to think it's not bigger yet. In fact, they said, slow down just a little bit, Phil. The terms they put, and I'm going to read right here, in other sports terms, it would be like Magic, Larry Bird, and Isaiah Thomas joining the ABA. Now, we knew it was happening. The Outsiders was incredible because it was before the internet and dirt sheets and everyone knowing everything, but pump the brakes just a little bit, Phil. We have a long way to go. This is big, but a long way to go. Hard to argue that one.
Oh, I would argue it because you think it's step bigger, one huh? was step one was Scott Hall. Step two was Kevin Nash. Step three was powerbombing Eric Bischoff. Step four was Hulk Hogan.
That's
what they did. And look, Hulk Hogan's the greatest of all time. He's drawn more money on both sides of the yellow legal pad as a good guy and a bad guy than anybody else. I can't ignore the impact and the immediate numbers impact of CM Punk. Like, those types of numbers are insane to me. In this era where we have been conditioned that, well, a million viewers is nice. And I've been guilty of this. 2 million viewers is cool. You know, at the peak of the Attitude Era, it was 10 million going back and forth, which I would poke a hole in that number because I know how ratings work, right?
Oh, yeah.
But say it's 5 million people watching wrestling. The energy in the building tells the story, right? This energy at an AEW show right now is Attitude Era, Nitro when it's hot, right? Like, that's the feeling.
Yep.
Like, do you Raw's in Boston on Monday?
Yep.
There's hesitation. AEW's coming to BU. You can't find a ticket.
Yeah, exactly. That's going to be a tough one on the secondary market. But I'm just saying,
Mike, to the point, there's nothing on the secondary market.
Well, there you
go. Go check it out. There's scattered singles on the secondary market for AEW. Wow. For Raw, you can get three tickets and get a fourth one free.
Yeah. Well, it's also a bigger arena too.
Well, AEW just sold out the United Center.
I know, but I'm saying, but if you want to compare Boston,
I think AEW could sell at the TD Garden.
Absolutely. Without question. I think they could hold a pay-per-view there and it would sell out.
I think, by
minutes.
The way, that's why they're moving the show from St. Louis. So Full Gear was scheduled. AEW's next pay-per-view was scheduled for November 6th in St. Louis.
Yep.
Rampage is happening in St. Louis. Tony Khan said on his media scrum that they're moving it to November 13th, but wasn't going to tell you the venue. I think it's Minneapolis, Minnesota. I think it's the Target Center.
I was going to say, what about
Baltimore? Or whatever their NBA basketball arena is called now.
Okay. I was going to say Baltimore.
And I haven't checked the date on it. This is just, I think it's going to be Minneapolis, Minnesota, whatever their basketball arena is.
Okay.
I bet you there's a Timberwolves game there and it can't happen, but I heard Minneapolis.
Interesting. Interesting.
I should have looked it up before I hit record.
The Timberwolves are on the road, James. That's a West Coast road trip for them. So the building is wide open, baby. There you go.
So that's what I think. I don't know that. I heard Minneapolis and I thought, well, they're going to sell out the NBA arena.
It is Target Center.
Because they know they can.
And the other thing, too, I was also going to say, I mean, Baltimore has been a home for them, too, in November, too. So you can't rule that one out as well. Baltimore for November 13th. But yeah, that's just, you know, they've been really, that's how they've done it the last couple of years there in that November timeframe there for the Full Gear. And that's the other question here now. So we look at the debut of Adam Cole. We look at the debut of Bryan Danielson. We look at the debut of Ruby Soho here from WWE. Do we get the debut of Bray Wyatt? Do we get the debut of Braun Strowman at Full Gear? Who's next? Who is next here for AEW?
Goldberg. Wrong company.
I mean, it's honestly like the way they're going now, it's only a matter of time before they scoop up Bray Wyatt and Braun Strowman. I feel bad in a way for a guy like Hangman Page, who was supposed to be in that main event there. Even Christian, for crying out loud, was in the main event of Kenny Omega match.
And they protected him well. That was a good match, Mike. They protected him well. One-winged angel finish from the top rope.
Yep.
That's called protecting your challenger.
Absolutely. And even the CM Punk match, Darby Allin was protected well. They didn't squash him, right? Put him in a good spot.
We'll get there, Mike. But I think overall, as I opened the show, this was as close to a perfect 4.5-hour pay-per-view as they could have put together. I really think that.
Now,
and this is kind of the key point as we transition to like digging into these matches a little bit.
Yep.
We as fans, we kind of knew what was coming, but we didn't know. And then once it happened, Mike, we still loved it. CM Punk, we kind of knew was coming. We kind of thought Adam Cole and Bryan Danielson were coming.
Yep.
And then they came. And then we came and we enjoyed it.
Yep.
And that's what pro wrestling's all about. And then it's what happens next.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
So we came to see CM Punk's first match in 7.5 years, and we got surprise, 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 good quality wrestling, good quality programming. And CM Punk wins over Darby Allin in Punk's return match. Darby Allin rolled up Punk for 2, applied the Last Supper cradle for a near fall. CM Punk popped up, hit a single leg drop kick. Allin hopped on Punk's shoulders, but Punk readjusted for the GTS and hit it for the win. Here's what, and then the post-match thing, right?
Yep.
So a few things. Let me reset a little bit. So that's how it finished. Here's what stood out to me. It looked like the match was called in the ring. Slow start, strong finish. Darby Allin bumped his ass off. But a few times, most notably, these are these little subtleties in in-ring storytelling, Mike. Punk just sitting up at the coffin drop attempt and then laughed about it. It felt like it was not so subtle laugh at Darby Allin, like, ha, 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 I'm just going to lay here for that. So it's, did CM Punk take Darby Allin a little too lightly once we got into the match? The other detail was Sting comes out, like Dad Sting, right? Shakes the hand of CM Punk, right?
Yep.
Darby Allin, a little disgruntled that he lost, a little hesitant to shake the hand of CM Punk. So now you have what could be a start of a tease of a breakup with Darby Allin and Sting.
Right.
Darby Allin, why did you come out here and shake my opponent's hand? I lost. You're supposed to be backing me. Little detail there, right?
Absolutely. Yep.
There was a few ode to Bret Hart's in this match.
Mm-hmm.
The opening arm drag, CM Punk's reaction was an ode to a Bret Hart spot. Bret Hart versus 1-2-3 Kid from a random Monday Night Raw that I wasn't at. There were a few other ones. There was a dive off the top rope that was the same thing. There was a knee into an arm bar that was part. So CM Punk kind of plagiarized a Bret Hart match, which, you know, was kind of cute.
Yep.
CM Punk with the long tights, I thought was interesting.
Awesome.
That got a lot of reaction.
With the Chicago star flag up and down, really good design.
And CM Punk's long intro, which is going to turn into fans singing Cult of Personality.
Yeah, absolutely.
And then after the match, we're now in Hogan must pose, CM Punk must pose.
Mm-hmm.
So the long post match. Yep. Those are my thoughts on the CM Punk return. I thought it was a good match. I think it was the same CM Punk. It just felt like he called it in the ring. Good finish. I think it elevated Darby Allin. I think CM Punk he's kind of shaking off the ring rust, but I think he was good here. What'd you think?
Yeah, and you know what, Jimmy? I thought he looked better than when he was in his prime with WWE. And, you know, you talk about the match between he and Darby Allin, a couple of spots there with the two GTS flying out of the ring. And he even yelled, oh, are you going for him or me, to everyone, that kind of get everyone going there. CM Punk and Darby Allin, like we talked about last week here, great opportunity for Darby Allin to be in this particular match with CM Punk as CM Punk made his return to pro wrestling in a ring as a competitor for the first time in 7 years. And you talk about that potential little detail there with, you know, Sting coming out. Why did you shake his hand? Darby Allin could accuse Sting of that and so forth. So we may have that turn, but I had some things clicking in my head after the match, like, you know, it's great to have CM Punk back, but I think it's a lot better for him to make the turn. And I think he as a heel would be a better star in AEW in that situation. But there's so much possibility here. What can happen? Again, he's been with the company 3 weeks now. Everyone is all in on him. They're very invested in CM Punk. But you know that appeal, I think, could fade off a little if they don't do something to maybe pull the trigger here of him making a turn or possibly going for a title run by the next pay-per-view, I'd say.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
We're not turning CM Punk heel.
We
need to recondition you from WWE, where everybody's got to turn. Becky Lynch is the most popular one, but she's got to turn heel. No, 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 no. You ride this until they get annoyed with him. Not annoyed with him. He's getting heroes welcomes. They're literally bringing him out on Rampage to do commentary, and he might as well be doing the Shawn Michaels sexy boy dance, because he's so excited to be out there. He's stage diving into fans during Cult of Personality. If you tell me in 6 months that they boo his ass when he comes out, then you've got something.
Yeah.
But we're not even close to that yet.
Well, you know what? I'm not saying I want it to happen, but I'm like, you know what?
No,
it,
but this is another week where you're like, turn CM Punk heel, turn CM Punk heel. They'll never. It's a swerve, bro. Like Vince Russo booking this crap.
Yeah. Well, I want to. I mean, we saw what happened with Becky Lynch, and that was inevitable because you can't do that to Bianca Belair. But CM Punk right here selling the shirts. He's hot. He's the number one guy in pro wrestling right now. Got to ride that hot hand. But I'm just very curious to see what will happen here for him. And, you know, maybe he does have a shot at the title by the November pay-per-view. We'll find out.
I think, and it's because CM Punk said it in an interview, the next pay-per-view, Full Gear, wherever it is, it's Bryan Danielson and CM Punk against the Young Bucks. And the Young Bucks don't have the titles anymore, so you don't have to worry about making them the champions.
There you go. That'd be good.
I mean, that's what we can do now. Mm-hmm. And then you get that match out of the way. Because, see, this is what Jericho did. Jericho and the Bucks, they kind of lined up who they all wanted to work with.
Yeah.
And it's like, how do we get there? So the Young Bucks, as the tag champs, as challengers, got to work with Adam Page and Kenny Omega, which may be the greatest tag team match in history, right? That's what a lot of people have said. As the tag team champions, the Young Bucks got to work with Moxley and Kingston. They got to work with Jericho and MJF. They got to work with FTR, who might be leaving.
Yep.
So that's what they do, is they line up who they want to work with, and then they figure out how to get there. It's outstanding booking, and a lot of it makes sense. And because the wrestler, the creator of the content, is invested in it, so he's going to see it through and make sure it works.
Absolutely, absolutely. And it's just like, did you buy your CM Punk shirt yet, too? By the way, I wanted to ask you. I think I tried to ask you when you were talking about the numbers there. Did you end up buying it?
I haven't yet.
I know you're wrong. You're going to do it soon, though.
I haven't yet.
That Chicago one, man, that was the hot thing going there. His debut at the United Center.
$400 on eBay.
Unbelievable. Just
I'm waiting because Pro Wrestling Tees is so bar. They're 4 weeks behind.
Right. Yeah.
So like, even if I'm better off waiting until they come to BU and buying it there.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Because it'll be same time frame, same window.
Right. Right.
So I might as well just get it in person, and maybe I get the ringer style instead of just the white t-shirt. But let's be honest, Mike, white t-shirt, not my thing. Give me the darks.
Yeah, I'm with you there. I like the, especially for wrestling, we have a lot of black ones.
Yes. Give me all the darks.
Storage.
I have a couple of purples, but give me all the darks.
Yeah. I hear you. Yeah.
I look better in dark colors. I know it. I admit it.
No, good spot here for both these guys, Darby Allin and CM Punk. And like I mentioned too, Darby Allin was pretty well protected here in this match, I thought. And again, just to be in the ring for the first time in 7 years with CM Punk on a pay-per-view with a fantastic audience, doesn't get better than that for that situation right there at Darby Allin. That's really good.
Chris Jericho retained his career by making MJF tap out to the Lion Tamer, Walls of Jericho, Boston Crab, Winnipeg Crab. Maybe it's the Tampa Crab now. there was a false finish where MJF used Floyd the Bat with referee Aubrey Edwards distracted, then hit the Judas effect for the what we thought was the win. Jericho got his foot on the rope, but you know, Aubrey Edwards didn't see it. And we know Aubrey Edwards is in the bag for Jericho, so she was easily talked into restarting the match. Another, you know, she used to be Girl Hepner when she was working the indies.
Yes.
So she's a crooked Hepner. So she was easily talked into restarting the match to protect Jericho. Jericho rolled up MJF for what I thought could have been a fabulous finish just out of nowhere. But that really turned the volume up on the fans. MJF turned into the salt of the earth. Jericho rolled MJF through into a Walls of Jericho for the tap out. Long fight, good fight. After the match, Inner Circle came in to celebrate with Chris Jericho. Chris Jericho's career goes on. So, two details to this that I really liked. Jericho was so good. When he came out, he was in tears. And when I saw that, I thought, wow, he's losing. He's really losing and he can't keep it together, because there are situations, and you saw at SummerSlam, where Nikki Cross is going to lose the women's title and she's holding on to that belt an extra second longer because she knows she's losing. Or Sasha Banks comes out with the pouty face because she knows she's losing. So there are, like, sometimes there are these little tells. That wasn't one of them. So good swerve. Good on Jericho. MJF. His character is so good.
Yep.
That we don't acknowledge how good he is in the ring. MJF does not have bad matches. And when he does an acai moonsault, it makes you think, like, is there anything MJF can't do? But what overshadows that is their match, MJF and Jericho's match a few weeks ago. Jericho does the Chicago is Jericho,
yep,
which is an ode to his entrance for when he made his debut in WWE. On this show, the Jericho countdown clock in the same font counts down to zero. And you think, oh, well, it's Jericho's last match. And it's an ode to, it's Chicago. It all makes sense.
Yeah.
Nope. It flips over and it's Jericho's last match. Here's MJF's music.
Yeah.
What a slimy, dirty villain. But it made sense. These are the storytelling details that make sense. And this is creative. This is the wrestlers investing. And I can't stress that enough, Mike. Like,
yep,
when your wrestlers invest in their creative, they're going to have these little details that are going to make you think, they're going to make you chuckle, they're going to make you invest more. And MJF's character is so good that that's what you get. And you forget that he's had great matches with Moxley and with Jungle Boy. And this one was a good one with Jericho. And like MJF, there's nothing that he can't do in the ring. So, Mike, what'd you think?
Yeah, and that was a big thing for me, too, right there with the countdown clock. And then, obviously, with the crowd, with a major boo right there after that. That was just fantastic. Great way to get some heat, MJF. And you talk about him and his character, just probably the top heel in the business right now, right up there with Roman Reigns. Just fantastic, you know, doing the Ric Flair dance and everything, and a little bit of a chop, if you will, after, and even wearing the robe and everything, mocking Flair's the legendary strut. And it just, he's so good, MJF. He's a young guy, and he's still got a long way to go ahead of him. And to be working right there with Chris Jericho, possibly to be shutting out his career right there, was really amazing. Now, I got to tell you, though, Jimmy, going into this match, I kind of felt a little underwhelmed on it, if you will. And maybe that was because of the CM Punk debut at Rampage a couple of weeks ago. And then, of course, you know, jumping into the promotion and the rumors going around about Bryan Danielson.
We're going to do it all night. It's okay.
Yeah. Oh, it's killing me. It happened for a while with the John Moxley stuff for years. So going to take some time. But yeah, so this kind of felt a little underwhelmed going into it. And I was like, you know what? I wouldn't be shocked if Jericho does lose, so he can actually, they can give him that formal sort of attention that he didn't really get in the buildup to this match. But at the same time, I don't think he is going to lose, because he's been that valuable to AEW. And sure, he'll call it a day when he wants. He'll know when it's time. He's got all that respect. But I think they'd give him more of a formal send-off than something like this right here.
Mike, you didn't think that this program built well?
I think it did, but I think it was underwhelmed. I think it was under the radar, considering, like I said, what happened over the last couple of weeks. And it just was kind of off to the side, and yeah, whatever. Now, again,
I don't feel that way at all, Mike. They did the five labors of Jericho, where it was either closing a show or opening the show.
Yeah,
and those are prime time spots.
They were, but I think everyone had their mind with CM Punk, and it was all CM Punk the last 21 days.
No, I don't think I think so at all.
I didn't get much interest
in
this one.
I think this was a three match show, Mike. I think it was, what are the Lucha Brothers and the Young Bucks going to do in the cage? It was, is this Jericho's last fight? And then what do we see from CM Punk? I think those were the three featured things about this show. Once Adam Page got knocked off it, because he left because his wife is expecting. I think that's the reason. I think that's out there more prominently, even though Tony Khan wouldn't necessarily. Yep. I don't think he acknowledged it in this post-media scrum.
No, I don't believe so. Yeah.
I thought there was a lot of focus on this. I thought there was a lot of focus on this.
Yeah, like, but
because they put CM Punk on Rampage, the second episode of Rampage, because they sold out a building that they hadn't previously booked. But there was a lot of focus on this. The five labors of Jericho, contract signing, Nick Gage, the deathmatch king, turns Jericho into the painmaker. Like, that's the main event. And then Hoovy comes out of retirement to open the show. Jericho taps out to MJF's finisher. And it's like, oh, what's next for Jericho? And then Jericho's in the ring with Jim Ross. I didn't realize it was the first time JR was in the ring. I did not realize that until he said it. And JR was all emotional about it. Yeah. Like, JR still sell it at 68. He still got it to sell. I thought that this was promoted as the second biggest thing on the show.
I mean, yeah, and I'm not disagreeing with you, but I didn't get that feel as a fan for myself. I didn't buy into it that much because, like I said, you had that whole thing, Darby Allin and Sting, and then CM Punk is his opponent, plus Christian Cage being in that main event there with Kenny Omega. I'm not saying that was a huge spot there, a huge match that I was like, I got to watch this. This is gonna be the match of the night, match of the year. But there was in the back of my brain that Bryan Danielson was going to debut, and that was it right there at the main event, when and how they were going to get there. So just things kind of went off the radar for the Jericho buildup in MJF. It was a tough situation for me as a fan to kind of get invested in it going into this pay-per-view. But when they did get into the ring there, it had that whole emotional situation for me, like, wow, this might be it for Jericho. So they got me when the bell rang, but in the couple of weeks going into it, I didn't really buy into it that much. Truth be told.
You're a Cody guy. I forgot. You think this is Cody's promotion, not Jericho's promotion.
I love me Jericho. But hey, listen, he was, you know what? Jericho
took you 30 years to get on that Jericho train, and then he fell right off, right, when his career was on the line.
No.
That's called diehard fans, people. That's Mike Riley, diehard fan. Takes him 30 years to get invested into Jericho, and then as soon as his career is on the line, nah, it doesn't do anything for me.
No. Okay. 30 years to get invested with Jericho, and when he went to AEW, that was an eye-opener. My God, best thing ever. So I hope, and I'm happy he won. We got more Chris Jericho, baby. Let's go.
Yeah.
Give me him and CM Punk down the line. Let's go.
That's a score to settle. By the way, Mr. Rampage, did you feel the tension when they were both on commentary Friday night?
Yes, and Jericho is so good. So good. He's
like
fine.
once they got going, they were fine, but like when they sat down, like Jericho, they did a shot of the announcer's table, and Jericho was laser focused on that monitor.
Yep.
He was not comfortable at all. And then they got into it and they started telling stories and they were fine. But
yeah.
Initially it's like, maybe that's one of CM Punk's scores to settle that he mentioned in his opening promo.
Give me Punk and Jericho. That's my dream match. Let's go.
I think Punk is all set with Jericho. Yeah. The match of the night, considered by many, was the AEW World Tag Team Championship Steel Cage match. It was the Lucha Brothers defeating the Young Bucks. This was another outstanding match with these two teams. Action, blood, violence. They used the cage. They used thumbtacks really to perfection. The pace of this match was outstanding. The Lucha Brothers hit their assisted pile driver to win the match and the championships from the Young Bucks. I can't do descriptors justice in this match. This match did not disappoint. I would not have switched the titles here, but that Chicago crowd, they wanted a title switch. They got a title switch, and they got everything in between. This was just a fabulous tag team match. It makes sense, I think, for the story of the Lucha Brothers and the Young Bucks to switch the titles. I wasn't ready for the Bucks to give up the titles yet.
Yeah, it took them a couple of years to do that, to even get the titles on them, but that's what their job was, to put over talent here. But Lucha Brothers and the Young Bucks here in this match, I'm pretty sure this was the first cage match in AEW since Cody and Wardlow in the pre-pandemic in early 2020. And you talk about this match here. Yeah, this is, you know, some people may say that the Revolution 2020 tag team match was the best of all time. I put this right up there too. This was, you know, awesome showing from everyone here. Rey Fénix, I mean, he is just, oh, what an athlete. I could see him as a single star down the line. I really could. And Hurricane Rana on Nick Jackson at one point too. And I think a really cool spot in this match, Jimmy, was on the ring apron with the double pile driver. And then we got a Canadian Destroyer out of it on one of the Jacksons from the Lucha Brothers. I don't know who had it there. But just a really good match all around here. It delivered. And, you know, we talked last week as the with the Walter NXT TakeOver 36 match being a potential match of the year candidate. You can add this one to the list right here, James. This was a damn good match, and good for the Lucha Brothers becoming the new AEW World Tag Team Champions. What a spot for them.
I thought that there was a cage match outside of Blood and Guts.
Was it? Okay, so I'm not going to challenge you on that. I wasn't sure.
I know Blood and Guts happened May 5th, but I thought there was a cage match somewhere around that time too. But
This is the one I could think of. So
yeah, the Cody Wardlow one is probably the most, because that was one of the last ones before they shut everything down. Right. I thought there was a singles one in there, but that's okay.
Yep.
But yeah, this match was great. I can't do it justice. So I won't try to. I won't try to describe it in justice and
so good.
You know, lose it. Just this is a show that I just think that everybody should watch. And I think we're going to find out that a lot of people did. Yeah. It was on the main page of the Bleacher Report, not Bleacher Report Live, pay-per-view everywhere, da-da-da-da-da. Ruby Soho last eliminated Thunder Rosa to win the Women's Casino Battle Royal. They were the last two. I thought for sure that Thunder Rosa would win here, but they gave the win to Soho, so it's Baker versus Britt Baker, DMD, against Ruby Soho. It makes sense to me that they would save Thunder Rosa maybe for the pay-per-view, as opposed to Ruby Soho. They can put on Saturday Night Special. They can put it on Rampage. They can put it on TV. She is just such a class individual.
Yep.
And again, her media scrum, she's like, she's just happy to be there. And it was really easy for her to transition in there. And she joked about how her face was hurting from smiling and embraced the, well, Tony Khan's like, well, what do you want to do? Yeah. I want the best you that you can provide. And I think that's really the cool thing. There were stories within this battle royal, the Bunny and Penelope Ford, tandem continues. That's really all that I kind of took out of it. I think the story really was Ruby Soho debuting, winning, and she'll go on to challenge Britt Baker, DMD.
Yep, Ruby Soho debuting there. And again, like we mentioned, another former WWE star on this particular pay-per-view. So great opportunity for her in the casino, Women's Casino Battle Royale, as the Joker card, if you will, which she was. And there she was right there coming away with the victory there. So putting her right at the top there for the women's championship that I thought, you know, I talked about last week as my match to watch was the Britt Baker DMD Chris Statlander match on the women's title. So I think it's going to help continue to propel the women's division in AEW here, especially with the new addition of Ruby Soho here. So really happy for her to see her win that, her debut on an AEW pay-per-view.
Yeah, and I thought Statlander and DMD had a good match.
I thought it was great.
Did you like the Pittsburgh Sunrise?
Awesome.
The ode to Adam Cole, which, you know, Britt Baker and Adam Cole are obviously an item. Yep. And Britt Baker's been teasing Adam Cole and those little spots, because we all know that's another thing about AEW is that, like, when Adam Cole's in the ring with the Young Bucks, they do the kiss and everybody knows what it is.
Right. Right.
Everybody knows Adam Cole's spots. Everybody knows Adam Cole and Britt Baker are an item. They've been at each other's shows all the time. So that was good. But DMD retains. I still think that she's got too many people in her group, and I think something's going to peel off. I thought Rebel took an early exit from the Battle Royal, which I thought was interesting. So we'll kind of see where that goes.
Yeah, and you know what? Even though Britt Baker, DMD, did win this match here, I thought Chris Statlander came away looking really good. And there was one particular spot in this match, James, where there was a superplex off the top rope where Britt didn't go, and Statlander kind of had to muscle her over. Just showed how strong she is. Unbelievable strength. But Britt Baker, DMD, is really at a whole different planet, if you will, different level of everyone else. But I thought the fans here were split, and I think that Statlander got a lot of fans in her side here in this one. So a good showing for her right there, for Statlander, but even better to continue to build that profile for Britt Baker, DMD, and it'll be interesting to see what happens with her and Ruby Soho in the future.
Can't stress how wrong I was about DMD. I thought I thought Britt Baker should have walked into the company, won the title, and just gone on a run. Nope. She needed to develop her character. Yep. Now she's solidified.
Absolutely.
She's got the character. Her ring work probably needs a little fine tuning. But again, if you got the character, see, this is minor sidetrack here. But we went through this phase of work rate. So like when there's a bad match, it really stands out, as opposed to back when we grew up, if there was like Steamboat Savage or Bret Hart Owen Hart or Savage Hogan WrestleMania 5, Hogan Warrior WrestleMania 6, like those matches stood out because while these are blowaway matches, or the tag team divisions, like these are blowaway matches. So the house shows, it's like Hogan has to go on before intermission, and we have to close with the Brainbusters against the Rockers because it's just so good.
Right.
But now we're at a point where all the matches are 3-star quality, 4-star quality, 5-star quality. So when you get a clunker in there, it really stands out.
Absolutely.
So it's such a great era, but the character is what emotionally invests you, emotionally draws you in. So with that being said, do you know anybody whose favorite wrestler is The Big Show? This match, Mike. This match, Paul White beating QT Marshall in 3 minutes. Yeah. This was perfectly placed.
Yes, it was.
Because right it was, I got up. I said goodbye to my friend Amir, who was here watching the show. I went, I did business in the bathroom. I came back. The match was over. And okay, we're on to the main event. We're on to Cage and Omega for the main event. This couldn't have been placed any better.
Yeah, it really was. Yeah, it was a 3-minute, 10-second match. And you're right. Right after the CM Punk emotional one. And it was fantastic. Great time to go grab a drink, too, if you're in the stands, right?
Yep, absolutely. The only other thing is John Moxley taking on all of New Japan, which I kind of dig.
That was cool.
Yeah, he wins over
Kojima.
The Chicago crowd knew who the other guy was. I did not.
Yeah.
I got to be real with you. And I looked at Amir and I went, who is this guy? Yeah. Chicago knows him. I don't know who he is.
Right. Right. Yeah. And it sounds like they're going to have a match
this Wednesday night.
Cincinnati.
In Cincinnati, Moxley's hometown.
Yep.
And then you got to bring out Tanahashi, right?
You know, I think that's what all indications lead to right here. Absolutely. Yep.
You got to bring out Tanahashi. You got to bring out Okada. You got to bring out the next guy, unless they're saving that for Wrestle Kingdom.
Right.
But here's the thing is,
and it was Minoru Suzuki.
Danielson said on his media scrum, he'd love to go work for New Japan, but he can't quarantine for 2 weeks. Then go, then be another 2 weeks, then work the 3 nights of Wrestle Kingdom. Woof. Vince McMahon, your move. Are you doing 3 nights of WrestleMania? No? Okay, good. But three nights at Wrestle Kingdom, Mike, that's
a lot. Yeah, that's and that's always that first week of January.
Yep.
Yeah. Yep. Oof. So essentially, if you were to do that,
that's what you have to do. That's your December is gone.
Oh yeah.
Now you're into January, and then you've got to do the same thing to get back.
Right.
And there's no guarantee that you're getting back.
Yeah, it's too much. Way too much. Yeah. Can't do it.
But John Moxley versus New Japan, very good, very entertaining. Although the match was a little slower paced. Like, I didn't realize that his opponent was a two-time IWGP champion. I'm like, really? Like, this guy?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It's a nice way to help put over New Japan and keep them alive, if you will. I guess some interest.
They have to be careful, though. Because the history of promotions working with New Japan, if they feel in the slightest bit disrespect, they will be out. Hmm. Vince did it. WCW did it. Ring of Honor did it. Impact TNA did it. Now they're working with AEW. Let's see.
Yeah.
Let's see what happens. Unless they make the payday just so incredible that there's no other way, but we need Moxley and Tanahashi. It needs to happen either in November or next February. That's the match. That's the match we need.
Bring it. Bring it, baby. So
I don't have anything else from my notes for AEW. It's just
the
energy of the crowd, my energy watching the show,
just
overall, I thought this was just as close to a perfect game as you could have thrown. This is you're in the ninth inning and you walk the leadoff guy.
Yep.
And that's your only mistake in the no hitter.
Well,
this was really good. Really good show.
It really was. And just a couple of observations. One observation I took down here with the debut of Bryan Danielson. Okay. It felt like you saw the reaction on his face. He just looked so damn happy. And he did close out his WWE career with a Universal title match with Roman Reigns. Of course, we know he did lose. But I think knowing the whole backstory, if you will, bits and pieces of Daniel Bryan and WWE, and now Bryan Danielson and so forth, it just, you can kind of see right in his eyes how happy he was. Maybe like, all right, no more bad booking for me that I had to deal with. And it just like, no more weight of the world on his shoulders carried around. He looked really relieved here. And again, having him debut during the main event, at the conclusion of the main event, rather, that will just bring more eyes to AEW Dynamite on Wednesday night. So I think that's going to be a really big number on TNT when the show goes off the air on Wednesday night.
This is kind of my developing opinion, Mike.
Yeah.
As long as there are around a million viewers, like, they're fine because there's just so many people who consume the product differently.
Mm-hmm.
Like there's an awareness. So like the big payoff is going to be the pay-per-views and the social media and all this stuff. Like I think that we as media observers, wrestling observers, I don't want to use that term because Dave Meltzer, we have to kind of re-identify how we think that the show is going and how it's being consumed and the excitement level. Like we feel it. We feel it. The wrestlers feel it. Like they want to go to AEW. That's one of the big takeaways from all of this is just listening to those three, Danielson, Cole, Soho, their post-game comments about, we wanted to go to AEW.
Yep.
Because Impact has money. Ring of Honor has money. With the exception of Mike and Maria and Dalton Castle, those are the ones who want the Ring of Honor money.
Right.
Gallows and Anderson took the Impact money, right? You know, there are staples within those companies, but for the most part, it's everybody wants to go work for AEW. And this is a point that the New Age Insiders mentioned on their podcast, which was an excellent recap of AEW. They talked about some of the same things we've talked about, but they've done it much better than we could ever do it. MJF is the flight risk. from AEW because they have CM Punk and Adam Cole as the smarmy, smart-ass heels. So if MJF thinks that he can make more money in WWE, that's where he'll go.
Yeah, of course.
I have a feeling that Tony Khan will do whatever it takes to keep MJF, but I don't know that for sure. But keep this in mind, too. MJF can get away with more in AEW than he could in a publicly traded WWE.
Oh, absolutely.
With corporate sponsors and all this other stuff.
Right. And he'd have the shackles thrown on him right away. Now, yeah, I'd probably make a little more money than he's ever made in his life in WWE. But yeah, you would not get half of the stuff that you see from MJF right here in AEW. And I hate to say it, it hasn't happened yet, or we don't know if it will happen, but I bet you a lot of people would be like, yeah, he sucks. This sucks compared to AEW. So for guys that want to make the jump to AEW, it's a big feather in their cap. And, you know, Jimmy, I think Tony Khan and everyone in AEW had to have had a fire lit under their ass when Vince McMahon made the comment that he didn't see AEW as a competition. And ever since that comment over the last couple of months, AEW's turned the gas up and they have shown why they are going to be the top competitor for WWE. Now, listen, I'm not saying WWE is going away or anything like that, but this is a big fire in the gasoline here for the world of professional wrestling with AEW, what went down at All Out this past weekend, and everything that's transpired over the last month in that promotion.
I talked to somebody who works in All Elite Wrestling, and I just sent them a note, and I said, great work on the show. You and the team should be proud. But here's the biggest thing is people around the Sports Hub office, people who are friends of mine, people who have reached out privately through social media, DMs are always open. I can't promise I read I see everything. I don't necessarily respond to everything. But people, once the CM Punk thing happened, they know I'm the wrestling guy. Yep. And they wanted to get caught up on AEW because they hadn't watched wrestling in so long, but here comes CM Punk. And that's why the thesis statement, the opening statement of this show was, this is the game-changing moment. We're living it. We're absorbing it. We're reacting to it. And 5 years from now, you look back on certain things and you realize it. I think we're realizing it now. I think we're living in it now. And it's a matter of who's next from WWE to jump. We know who's been let go. We know that they're on the horizon. But who's next? Cesaro, Kevin Steen.
Right.
Somebody like that.
Well,
are they the next ones to find a way out? Sami Zayn.
Maybe Asuka. You could go the female division. Maybe her.
Ashley Flair.
Yeah. I mean, there are, listen.
I mean, this is something to keep in mind because Tony Khan said this kind of in passing. He was asked about Ric Flair on his media scrum. And he goes, Rick's a great friend. He sat drinking next to me during one of the shows. So Tony Khan's on headset. He's in that producer role. He's reminding announcers where things are going. Da, 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 da. Ric Flair sat next to him. And Tony Khan said that Ric Flair, when the show was over, Ric Flair said, wow, that was an amazing job you did.
Yep.
And so Ric Flair is sitting next to the owner of AEW as he's producing the show, helping to produce the show.
Yep. If that's not writing on the wall for something down the line, then yeah, you know, you get WWE will do whatever they can to retain Charlotte at this point right here. So something to think about too. But, and the other thing to think about as well is that the third quarter conference or rather is coming up soon. And I don't know, the WWE has had two releases, you know, over the last couple of last 18 months. So, I mean, maybe we're due for another one before the end of 2021. We'll see.
Yeah. So the only other thing that I have in my notes is not AEW related, but it's something we can talk about our next episode.
Yep.
The Rock isn't doing WrestleMania in Dallas.
No.
And I don't want to go too far into it because the focus of this week and really the last 2 weeks of pro wrestling has been All Elite Wrestling. But I will say that on Friday, the internet had this whole thing about how The Rock's not doing WrestleMania. Mike and I have independently confirmed that essentially The Rock told WWE to stick Dallas up their backside. Not in so many words, but
yeah.
So there will be no Roman Reigns versus The Rock match at WrestleMania.
Yeah. And I mean, it's a little disappointing. I think WWE really has to do whatever they can to, you know, make that a big main event. Now, there's also talk right now potentially of Brock Lesnar. I agree. I that does not do much for me. We've had that a couple times already. Give me John Cena again. Give me Cena Roman Reigns and have Cena win. That's what I would do. So I think that would be the call right there, a return for Cena, because he'll be away, which he just had a SummerSlam and he already confirmed he's going to go away for a bit. It'd be a great return from right there. So
it does bring up an interesting point. Mm-hmm. And it's WrestleMania 38. If Roman keeps the title, right, and he keeps it until he can fight The Rock, which would be WrestleMania 39 now, April 2nd, right? April 2nd, 2023 would be day 945 for Roman Reigns as the Universal Champion. Ugh. So the modern day comp is Okada when he had the IWGP title for 720 days. So there's a bigger thing here about, could WWE go 1,000 days with Roman Reigns as Universal Champion? And if he did, you're talking Bruno, who had it for almost 3,000 his first run.
Yep.
Backlund had it for over 2,000 days his main run. Hogan had it for almost 1,500 days on his first run. Bruno's second run was over 1,200 days. And then Pedro Morales had it for 1,027 days. That's it for the 1,000 marker number.
Yeah.
So, four names, five title runs. In the 100, and add this, in the 100-year history of the National Wrestling Alliance, only six wrestlers broke 1,000 days as champion. None of them were Ric Flair or Harley Race.
I mean, that's very good research there, James, but I got a problem with that if Roman Reigns is to hold on to it that long.
And by the way, those kayfabe metrics were for our friend Lauren, who's part of Bell to Bella's, their website. Oh.
Excellent website and great friend of the show, Lauren. I think that, you know, with Roman Reigns here in this particular era of our lifetime, where we're just so exposed to things constantly, social media, you name it, out there all the time. Everyone knows, even if you're not a wrestling fan, you know who Roman Reigns is. Now, I know people knew who Hulk Hogan were and so forth, but I think that's a different era. Those guys right there, when they held the title that long, they kind of needed to, because they needed to have that well-established champion to keep continuing to get those promotions off the ground, where you're not exposed to the television deals you have on a weekly basis. So now, I think you can pull the trigger, scale back on Roman Reigns holding it over that 1,000-day period, which, I mean, I'm sure I wouldn't be surprised if it does happen, but I hope it doesn't for that sake right there, because it's too much.
They gotta keep feeding him opponents if they're going to get there, and it's going to be interesting because they protected Balor well.
Yes, they did.
And it's going to be Demon Balor at Extreme Rules against Roman, it looks like. And Roman's going to eat up the Demon. And that's an interesting one for AEW. Would Finn Balor jump to AEW? So this is now what we're doing, Mike.
Yep.
Is we're not wondering who's jumping from, we're not wondering who's jumping to WWF. We're like, who is getting off this ship?
Yeah.
And it's not the Titanic, because they're a global business.
Right.
They're fine financially, but just the culture, the creative, the momentum of WWE is going in the downward direction. AEW's is going up.
Yep.
And that's the important thing, is just the energy in the room. The energy in the room, Mike. That's the key here.
Reminisce to WCW of the mid-90s. We'll see if history repeats itself.
Our buddy Elliot from Boston thinks that WWE is WCW now.
It could be eventually. I think that's kind of strong right now at this particular moment. but it could be. I'm not going to rule it out. Right now, though, I can't say it is. But
just say you agree with him and acknowledge Elliott from Boston.
No, I don't agree with him right now. Maybe down the line I will. But I acknowledge him. He's a great listener. And
average, you know, listener.
I like Elliott. I'm putting the kid over. But no, I don't think it's I don't think it's a it's a hot take, though, and I respect it. Do you agree with that?
I think that there's a case to be made for it. I don't think at the moment it's accurate. No. Because when WCW, there are perils where WCW had the Time Warner, like, you can't do this, you can't do this, you can't do this.
Right.
And WWE is under those same restraints. The difference is from the business side of things, WWE is secure. They could screw up for the next 5 years and they're secure. And then they sell, and then it's Disney's problem. And Disney will do fine with them. They'll make it a profitable business. It'll keep going. It's not going to get into the hands of Ted Turner being ousted, and then this corporate conglomerate who hates pro wrestling is just going to fire sale it and just get rid of it.
I don't think it's going to be, I think it'd be more NBC over Disney.
Just Disney, NBC, Universal. I mean, they have a Universal champion.
Okay. All right. Fair enough. Yeah.
It's whoever they end up selling it to, because we all think it's going to be sold because,
right.
Oh, by the way, the, this is just my last little thing, and we're limping towards the finish line here. And it's
Please.
Fault.
Yeah. No problem.
There was reporting a week ago that Vince McMahon and Bruce Pritchard were taking over NXT.
Oh yeah.
Taking over NXT. And what did I tell you, Mike Riley? What did I tweet out to the world? That all that Vince and Bruce were going to do was make the show look pretty, light up the building, add extra cameras, mic the crowd better. Did you see the reporting today?
What's the latest?
Triple H did not lose creative control.
All right.
Bruce Pritchard and Vince McMahon are just coming in to light the building better, to change the look of the show.
I mean, you know what? To change the look of it, because
acknowledge me, Mike. Tell me I'm right.
You're right, James, because you know what?
Acknowledge me as your wrestling tribal chief.
I think that with that garage unit looking old set for NXT, now to actually have some lights right there, that's huge. That's a good thing, because you look at AEW here going different arenas, and they're just selling it out. Now it's just like, again, garage unit, high school gym with the fans in the stands there. So maybe this is to help inject more viewership or whatnot. But Triple H, for him to have creative control, NXT will still be okay. It'll be different, but it'll be okay, though.
I just need to wedge that in there. Okay.
Congratulations. You're right. Yeah.
Thank you.
Yes, good job.
Each week, you can listen to Wrestling Inside the Ropes on the podcast page of 98.5thesportshub.com and on the 98.5 The Sports Hub app. While you're there, check out all the other original podcasts available from Boston's Home for Sports. Our podcasts are also available at bpodstudios.com and in Apple Podcasts and Google Podcasts.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.